It's an important pasuk. After Har Sinai occurs, and there's such epic revelation on that mountain, and delivery of Torah, Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma, so Hashem tells them about building the Mizbeach, and building Mizbeach Adama, and building Mizbeach Avanim. We talked about that a little bit this morning, and how to build it, and not to run up, and not to build stairs. And Hashem says, B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Hashemi, Avo Elecha V'Rechticha. Anywhere that you want to encounter me, I'll be there, and I'll give you the bracha of my shechina, of my presence. B'chol HaMakom. That's an important statement about Har Sinai. And not just geographically or topographically, but existentially. It's very easy to be from in spurts. It's very easy to have a good week. It's harder to have a month. It's very easy to be from on Yom Kippur. It's more difficult to stretch it over the course of a year or even a few months after Yom Kippur. So much of Avodas Hashem is being able to establish consistency, being inspired by these punctuated moments of intense religious experience. And as you grow older, hopefully that will become easier. You know, a lot of boys who are, I think, are doing wonderfully this year are still erratic. I choose from time to time whether to step in and intervene, because I can see your trajectories already having taught for so many years. Some guys, I feel your trajectory, again, a lot based on how long you're staying. If there's a boy who's erratic and he's only staying 1 year, I feel a greater pressure to create consistency. If there's a boy who's erratic and has highs and lows and is staying a long time, and I feel the trajectory will balance itself out, so I'd rather let him balance itself out so he won't have a negative reaction to my intervention or something. So Hashem says, don't think it's only about Har Sinai. It's about B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Hashemi Avo Elecha V'Rechticha. Rav Amital used to quote a very famous part of the Kutzker. And this is in Devarim, where Hashem tells Moshe, you stay with me, and to the people say, Shuvu Lachem Le'olechem, go back to your tents. So it's a descriptive pasuk. You go back to the tents, Moshe stay with me. But the Kutzker felt, the real challenge is when you go back home. It's not a challenge to be from an Har Sinai. When you go back home to your Oel, when you go back home for Pesach, when you see your parents and you're out of yeshiva, and all these resources available to correct and steady Avodas Hashem are missing, are able to apply. So at every stage in life, it's always about transitions and being able to stretch religion from unique moments to the regular day-to-day. Now, Chazal were aware of this. The beautiful Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Mishnah says, how do you know if you learn with 10 people, the Shechina is with you? How do you know if you learn with 5 people, the Shechina is with you? How do you know if you learn with 3 people, the Shechina is with you? How do you know if you learn with 2 people, the Shechina is with you? And then the end of the Mishnah says, how do you know that even if one person opens a sefer in some gulag in Siberia, that Hashem is there? It quotes this pasuk, B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Hashemi Avo Elecha Uverechticha. And again, this is one of the only two cases in the Torah where Torah is referred to as Shmi. What do we mean that Torah is Shem Hashem? You're not Ariel. If I change your name to Ephraim, nothing about you would be confusing and disorienting. You'd still have your past, you'd still have your future, you'd still have your identity. You just have to get used to hearing yourself called Ephraim. But the name is the way I access you. If I want to call you, I don't say the person sitting in the second row wearing an ugly blue JC, wrestling, whatever. I say Ariel because it's easier. It's an approximation of everything you are. So is the Torah Hashem, though Hashem is vast and infinite beyond any human comprehension. But the closest approximation we have is this Torah. So when I want to access Hashem, same way when I access you, I call your name. And when I access Hashem, I call his name. So there, his name is his Torah. Where else is Torah referred to as Shem Hashem? Ki Shem Hashem. Ekra Avogod Elokeinu, which is the source of Brichas Torah. When you say Torah, give a bracha. Avogod Elokeinu. The only two brachas that are deraisa are? Berachas Mazon and Berachas Atar. All the other brachas are Midrabanan. So the Mishnah in Avos says, anytime, in any place you learn Torah, it's a very powerful Mishnah. Very powerful Mishnah. By the way, there's a sub-message to that Mishnah. There's so many different ways that you learn. It's important not to limit yourselves. I always see boys who only like learning by themselves. It's a chisaron. It's a chisaron in life. It's a chisaron in life. It's a chisaron in life because typically I found people that don't get along with chavrusas. It's not because they don't get along with chavrusas, it's because they have a hard time compromising their own style and their own space and time for other people. That's not a good portend for marriage and other relationships. Part of relationships is you have to give up yourself and give up and see territory and be flexible. So whenever I see boys not having any chavrusas, it's not a good sign. Again, you won't have a seder without a chavrusa, that's fine, but you have these people that are serial loners when they learn, it's not necessarily a good thing. Sometimes you learn by yourself. It's also important to learn by yourself. Sometimes you learn in groups of three. Sometimes you learn in groups of 10. Not necessarily numerically. Groups of 10 means a shir. Groups of 3 means a chabura, a couple of people talking. Groups of 2 is a chavrusa. Groups of 1, obviously, or a group of 1 is learning by yourself. It's a very powerful concept. Wherever you are, as far as you feel from Rabbanu Shalom, it could be snowy Ithaca, and you feel like I'm a million miles away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a million miles away from the Gush. You go into some little quiet room, open a sefer, think of this pasuk. I've thought of this pasuk a lot in life. B'chol ha-makom asher askira shemi avoy lecha v'yachtira. Wherever you are, Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, is beyond time, it's beyond place. That's why Har Sinai isn't tagged geographically. Where is Har Sinai? We don't know, nor do we care. There's absolutely no interest in discovering Har Sinai. It's a desert. It's a place beyond space, intentionally. You'd think the Torah should be given in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Be'er Sheva, and in Beit La, I mean, places of importance. It's given some nondescript terrain, in the middle of some uncivilized desert, as Hashem says, Torah is beyond space, just like it's beyond time. That's why there's no date for Matan Torah. When Matan Torah occurs, so we can recreate it based on... But you think, we know when we left Mitzrayim, Torah tags it. Torah has so many tags. B'chodesh hasheni, b'tzeis, l'meisel. This happened, here it happened in the third month. When? Anyone's guess. Well, it's not a guess, we know, but Torah is beyond time, beyond place. Important message. But I left out 3 words. The Torah doesn't say, b'chol ha-makom avo elecha v'erachticha. The language is, b'chol ha-makom asher azkir ashmi avo elecha v'erachticha. So what does Rashi say? I will be there any place that you are allowed to mention my Shem HaMavarash. I will be there intensely. Where's the only place you're allowed to mention Hashem Shem HaMavarash? Beis HaMikdash. So this qualifier means I will come and be with you in the Beis HaMikdash. Wait a second. That's a pretty big qualification. I think it meant anywhere. Well, anywhere means... It's like when my son was applying to yeshivas, he asked me for advice. So I said, you can apply to any yeshiva you want. As long as it's Gush, Yerucham, and Malet, any yeshiva you want. So Baruch Hashem, he found Yerucham, and he's very happy. You know, anywhere is not anywhere. You can apply anywhere you want, as long as you can mention my name. That's one place. And it's not even, if you listen to the syntax, very interesting. It doesn't say, B'chol ha-makom asher tazikir ashmi. B'chol ha-makom asher azikir ashmi. And Rashi has to rework the grammar. Anywhere that I give you the right to mention my name. That's very, very authoritative. My place that I decide, not your place that you decide to mention. The place that I decide, api halacha, you can mention the name. That's where the Shekhinah is felt intensely. That's where you'll encounter me. It's mamish to mamari chazal that are contradictory. Pirkei Avos says anywhere you learn. Rashi is quoting the Mechilta, only the Beis HaMikdash. That's one of the most difficult challenges of religion. The balance between stretching religion and integrating it into every space of your life, the first pshat, but still recognizing differences between certain unique places in life and non-unique places in life. That is so important. Let me give you an example. I think our society, people call it modern Orthodox, in Israel it's Dati Lomi, they're very different, but structurally there's similarities. They're stretching Torah from the Beis Medrash, from the shtetl, from the ritual-based experience of 2,000 years. 500 years ago, to be religious meant one thing in one becoming, Torah and mitzvahs. You're stuck in some little shtetl. You just follow the code. You learn Torah as much as you can. You do mitzvahs, you do chesed. That's it. There's nothing more. You can't. What does it mean? Now, all of a sudden, is there something else? So here, very compelling. We want to build a state that may demand compromises from the classic, hopefully not at a personal level, maybe at a national level, in terms of we allocate resources. We're not in Bnei Brak. We're not allocating every single resource to study Torah. We're sending boys to the army and sacrificing Torah output to build a state. We're relaxing halachic issues in order to build a state, at the Mechira or Hakashrus, whatever, because we have a larger equation. A Haredi would say, no, we are still maintaining absolute strict halachic performance in Mitzvah. We're not draining resources, relaxing flexibility. I'll leave the board of calculus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The advantage that we have is integration. We want to bring religion not just to the Beis Medrash, but to business, to army, to civic affairs, to politics. How can I take the spirit of the Tzelos and the Nesivos and the Bekiva, we didn't deal with all these things, and Torah, and stretch it and spread it and inspirit it to every part of a society? That's a big question. There's no Tzelos on how to make a police force. There's no Nesivos on politics. There's no Rebbe Chanan on army life. So how do I manage that? When you succeed, then all of a sudden you feel religious meaning at every level. No matter where you are, I'm an Oved Hashem. No matter where you are, what does Hashem expect of me? So let's say, taking this and mapping it to the modern Orthodox world, in Chutz La'aretz, where the concern is not necessarily state building, but the concern is the broader world. So when I'm at work, and when I'm engaged in the political activity and civic activities, those are moments for Kiddush Hashem, and those are moments to... So at every moment, I should be feeling religious. B'chol ha-makom. But the price you pay is everything becomes diluted. And business and being in shul are the same. And they're not. When you're at work, you have an opportunity to be an Oved Hashem and to stretch all those values, b'chol ha-makom. But when you're standing in shul in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is a unique ritual moment that has to have elevated religious consciousness and appropriate behavioral adjustments. How you dress, what you say, what you don't say. Why do you think there's so much talking in certain shuls? In some cases, it's just total disregard. But in some cases, it's the casual. That's why think carefully before you dress down when you come into shul. Think carefully. If you're dressing down, you may be diluting the experience. There's no difference between the way you dress during the week and the way you dress in shul, even during the week. Forget Shabbos, where there's a halachic mandate to dress differently. It's actually a halachic mandate, and it's just nice if it's just differently. Gemara says about a certain time who only had one article of clothing, he would invert the hem. Just to be different. Shabbos should be different. But even walking in the shul, there's a lot to be said about wearing a hat in shul when you die. And if you're not a hat wearer, about adjusting the process. Some people in my generation were weak, so they say, Rabbi Friedman wears a jacket. You know, they're a minute. Okay, so I never thought that would be, I couldn't see that as a sign of respect, just to put some arbitrary jacket. But in terms of preparing yourself, tucking yourself in, making sure you look appropriately, standing posture, we've talked about this a lot. I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That second component, to be able to carve out unique spaces that are not b'chol ha-makom, but b'chol ha-makom asher askir shemi. When I'm standing in the Beis HaMikdash or a Beis HaMikdash-like setting, it could be place, it could be time. Shabbos versus weekday, Yom Tov versus weekday. It's not just space, it's differences, different modalities. I have a modality in the Beis HaMikdash, I have a different modality in Siberia learning Torah. I have a modality on Shabbos, I have a modality during the week. I have a modality in the Beis Medrash, I have a modality on Natme. What types of things are inappropriate in the Beis Medrash? I know we're still toying. There's an article in Daf Kesher this week. Maybe you want to read it. We're still toying with what type of internet access is appropriate for a Beis Medrash. It's not no longer about internet access. You all have it on your phones. And it is partially about time wasting. That's part of it, just purely practically. But there is a more attitudinal question, is what is risen appropriate in the Beis Medrash? So I use Facebook just to send messages. I don't look at Facebook, you know, what's going on in the world. It's an easy message sending. So my Facebook, is it appropriate to have? And at least at this stage, and for me, I'm so technologically oriented, I see past the packaging. Facebook and email, the same thing. It's just binary codes. So I'm just sending messages to people. It's just an easy way to send messages. But for some people, the fact that Facebook is associated with certain information, you can glean certain information. For example, when I put my shiurim out every day on Facebook, so I try to put a picture that can draw people to the shiur, and you know, so I'll tag in Google pictures. Today I spoke about Rav Amital's cows, so I put a picture of a cow, whatever. So I'll type in cow and get images. Sometimes the images aren't so kosher. You know, if I say something, like yesterday I gave a shiur on devotion, and it was a post chakra shiur. So I plugged in the word devotion on Google to see some nice pictures that I could put, and some of the pictures weren't so nice. They're talking about devotion to a spouse, and it wasn't really appropriate. I had to close it very quickly. So I was trying to serve the interests of Torah. I wasn't just thumb surfing. I was trying to find a picture that would make the shiur more meaningful to people who would see it. And I found a nice picture, obviously. But That's an important question. How should you dress in the Beis Medrash? What is, should you be listening to non-Jewish music in the Beis Medrash? Non-Jewish music that you listen to elsewhere. Not just in the Beis Medrash. Should you listen to non-Jewish music when you're learning Torah in your room? On the one hand, you say, whatever works for me, and which, by the way, I've told you many times, just developmentally, you have to be able to focus without listening to music. That's important, because music won't take half of your brain. Or sometimes you need to take half of your brain when you're tired or you need a distraction. But there's a multi-billion dollar industry that you'll discover on college campuses for focus-enhancing drugs. You'll walk into every bookstore, and half the bookstore will be drugs for the college drunks to take after drinking all night to try to get their brains to focus more. So you don't spend any money. Just learn to focus. One of the mental skills I could teach you, if you had to ask me, what are the three or four mental skills that you can most work on? It's focus, it's mental agility, it's remaining calm. Those are the, how do you train your brain? The same way you train your body to work in a gym. So you train your biceps, what do you need to train your brain? You want to keep your brain calm, not to set into panic. You want to have agility to move from idea to idea. That's why I tell you not to study one area. If you're into maths, study liberal arts. If you're into liberal arts, study maths. Just train your brain to be agile enough, right? It shouldn't be as agile as mine. That's not good. You shouldn't be thinking about chopping broccoli. That's not a good thing. But go as far as you can without becoming someone who's lost in the wilderness like me. But it's mental agility to be able to move from issue to issue and to see commonalities, to see, this is a little too dangerous. I'm stopping. But as I was saying, these dualities are important dualities to blend. On the one hand, to stretch Avodas Hashem as broadly as you can, b'chol ha'makom. On the other hand, to recognize there are unique places, unique spaces, unique moments, and can you treat them uniquely, dress uniquely, behave uniquely, feel unique, and not just convert everything into one bland, flattened pancake. Religion isn't a pancake. Flat. It's all flat. There are mountains and there are valleys. The goal is to bring the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the mountains and the valleys, or the crests and the troughs, but not to eliminate them. Some people, religion is so flat because that's the price they pay for trying to integrate everything. It just becomes flat, and it's not meant to be flat. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. If you see any high school kids, tell them not to come. We want to wake up.